Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Carum. That's Ben over there, Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on?
How are you? How are you?
Oh, I am great. I'm great. It's Monday, ready to kick off the week. Excited for that. What else can be said?
Yeah, what else can be said? It's a big week here on Bravo. We've got the return of Married to Medicine. We've got Atlanta Today. We've got Below Deck Sailing, which is newish. The two Housewives shows and a Summer House. Okay, it's a very busy week. And if you need more content, well, then just go over to Patreon, okay? That is where we do our bonus episodes. It's also where we do two video recaps a week, which are super fun. And that's that. Let's get on with a little Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, this is really a show. This is really an episode that I think we can all grasp onto because we all know what it's like when somebody goes to page six with our news. I mean, girl.
Oh, my God.
If I could count the times someone was like, page six, did you know what Ronnie did with a stripper?
I know. I mean, this podcast just can't keep itself out of the news. Am I right, everyone? And just like every single day, every outlet just wants to write about us.
People just care so much.
Yeah, totally identifiable. It was a storyline that really resonated with me.
Now, I've been wondering a little bit watching this season, like, you know, these Bolo episodes were amazing. Well, specifically that one Bolo episode was amazing. But there were a couple really good episodes in a somewhat blah season, okay? Sorry.
Yes.
Said it, okay? And so the worry is, okay, Bolo's done. Are we going to get a great season moving forward, or are we going back? I'm not sure, because the commercials are like, the best season ever. And then every commercial is Bolo just rubbing his dick. And I'm like, okay, this worries me. You know,
I don't trust the commercials. I stopped trusting the commercials after this past season of Orange County, where they had pull quotes from some random person saying Orange County is back and it's better than it's ever been in the history of Bravo. I'm like, listen, I liked Orange County more than most people, but I think generally speaking, it was not considered a success of a season. So I don't fall for the false advertising anymore.
Well, that was some ridiculous advertising, remember? Because it was like, best season, back and better than ever. Some person from Twitter. Like, really? Come
on. Yeah. Gene Shalit's neighbor. So this one, I mean, I thought this episode was all right. It was all right. I mean, I think that the show has kind of found its groove. They're filming together as a group. I think that maybe just before their Bolo trip, there was dealing with the pandemic and what that entails on production. They had all these new friends of. You had Drew. Drew seemed like she was, you know, she reminded me of like George Clooney in Gravity, just kind of floating. And, you know, now she reminds me of Sandra Bullock in Gravity. Hmm. Almost singing dog songs, but in a space that feels more attached. So,
you never know. I mean, this is a Housewives show. It could almost end for her with garbage flying at her face, you know?
Either way, it is feeling a little bit more cohesive. So I enjoyed this episode. I thought the second episode of the season was really actually pretty good, and I was like, this is going in the right direction. Then it hit a lull. Bolo saved it, and now here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Okay, so I was in the game for three episodes, and now I'm calling all the shots for three episodes. Drew's opening line. So Drew. You know, bless Drew coming in and really putting forth a good first season effort. I mean, at first she wasn't showing up to anything because she had some, you know, COVID, and then she had her husband's father's death and all that stuff. But now that she's with the group, she's like, okay, I will fight with Kenya on camera. Let's set that up. I mean, she even does vocal warm-ups before the scene starts. Like, she's a professional, okay, guys?
Yeah, she actually inspired me to do some vocal warm-ups before this podcast, because I notice sometimes when I listen to myself when we're doing editing, I hear myself talk and I just sound like a blur of vowels. I'm like, why do I not articulate anything? I speak like this. I speak really quickly, and I'm like, what? So I'm now like doing Drew Sidora vocal exercises. So hopefully my diction will be clearer.
there's no help for me. I just need a tongue job. I need like my tongue cut down, like smaller. I need like the housewives get their boob implants taken out. I need a tongue reduction. A jaw.
Yeah. Either way, I think Drew is actually fitting in really well. I agree. I think that she seems like a match. I don't sit there and be like, she's not doing anything. She's just like, why is she here? She's not giving me like Shamari, for instance. Bless Shamari's heart.
Yeah, she's making an effort. Nothing's really landing yet, but it's kind of like a musical audition. You know, you give 16 bars and they're like, nah, do you have anything else? So it's just kind of that, you know, she's just shifting through sheet music at this point, but she's making an effort.
She's about to dive into America the Beautiful, you know?
So la 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la.
You know, this musical interlude is sponsored by Lala, okay?
Yeah.
It's a Lala song.
Sunday's interstitial music on Bravo was not great. We also had some doozies on Married to Medicine, which we may talk about in the next episode. Who knows?
Hello. hello.
It was not good. Not a good catalog that they pulled from. So we see Candy with Ace, and she's homeschooling him, and she wants his D to look a little bit less like an O. And then we go to Portia with
her sister. That sounded really gay with you.
I know. And I said, I'm just going to move on because we're talking about little boy.
I know. But it didn't sound gay on the show at all. But you saying it sounded super gay.
Well, because she didn't say it like me. She didn't say, I need that D to look like an O. She was like, that D's okay. Maybe a little bit less like an O, which sounds a lot less gay and sassy.
So then we go over to Portia's house, and Lauren is there, and you know that Portia and Lauren are getting along really well because Portia has bought Lauren some new eyelashes that are enormous, okay? She's graduated to the strong lid category. Lauren is now wearing eyelashes as big as a baby's hand.
She looks like she just got, you know, cornered at the makeup counter at Macy's. You know when that happened? You know, like when you're walking through Macy's, it doesn't happen to me because they don't really do it to guys. It doesn't seem like, but I feel like I see it with girls where a girl will be walking down the path, and then the lady for like basically MJ's mom will pull a girl aside, be like, "You need makeup. Let me do something." And then they all of a sudden come out with just like so much makeup on their face. That's what Lauren was giving me, trapped by a Macy's makeup lady.
Yeah, well, that's thin privilege. I can't fit into things at Macy's, and they don't do that shit at Old Navy. Okay. Here's what, like, if you get anything thrown on your face at Old Navy, it's like a pair of jeans that someone's just taken off the rack and just thrown for no reason.
Well, I mean, I don't do a lot of fashion shopping at Macy's, but you know, every now and then you have to walk through it to get to the exit, you know?
Yeah, or look at the kitchen aids. I love to look at some kitchen aids. Okay, the guy at Dillard's is like, "Do you need to look at kitchen aids again?" Because that's the only thing I do when I'm there.
I hate walking through mall anchors. Are they called mall anchors or whatever? I hate walking through a department store to get into a mall. I like walking through the proper doors because it feels more gratifying because it's usually a door and a big atrium. But when you have to like walk in through like some cheesy ass, you know, polo, like Ralph Lauren, what's that? That's like the Polo Nautica or whatever, or like,
yes,
like the shitty.
And you have to remember, like, oh, I was by the spotted bra, or like I was by, you know, the striped bikini, because that's the only way. Because you think, well, I'm by the bikinis, but then the bikinis are also by the other door. You're like, how many people fit into bikinis? God damn it.
The worst is when you have to walk in through a Sears and you're like, ugh. And you're like, okay, I parked by the TVs. And then you realize that like every direction is the TVs. And you're like, how do I get to my car again?
God, we really have been inside too long. We're really romanticizing malls. People, I'm sorry, whoever is listening to this.
I hate walking through the department store to get into the mall. I hate it. Yeah. I never really articulated that until now.
We're never going to recap this fucking show, but we miss malls, okay? That's where
we are. We are the equivalent of like the department store that people are like, when are we getting to the recap?
We are the Dillards that you have to walk through to get to the Real Housewives of Atlanta recap. Okay, so Lauren and the mom are both there, and so they're Miss Diane, the mom, so rude. Lauren and the mom. They're asking about the bachelorette party, and the mom is telling a story how back in the day, she was having a bachelorette party for who? Was it her? Oh, it was her father's new wife, right?
Something like that. I don't know. I wasn't totally listening. I'm
Portia's father's new wife. And she found four hot strippers. And the dad was like, so, I don't know. He wanted to grab her or something. I don't know. I don't know why I wrote any of this down. Let's just pretend none of this ever happened.
Okay? It was like a long story. And the camera spent a lot of time on Lauren's face, which is why I had enough time to be like, she has a lot of makeup on. But they all laugh at the end. And then we go over to Lake Bailey. And Cynthia is having her assistant text her mom because they're going to be looking at dresses. I was nervous. I was like, oh, God, please don't let it. I don't know if I can deal with another Real Housewives bridal boutique, you know, moment, right? Unless it's at Galahav. But actually, it turns out it was just that her mom's dress is delayed and will be arriving after the wedding. So they have to get her a new dress.
Yeah, Cynthia does that thing where she has her assistants contact you, which I really hate when people do that. I have a couple friends who do that. They think they're so fancy. Really? I mean, they are fancy, but you can call me. You know what I mean? Like,
who are your friends with? Like Maria Shriver? Like who?
Diane Wiest, guys. I mean, seriously. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, like people, you know, like TV people or whatever, they're like, my assistant wants to know if you want to go to dinner. I'm like, shut up, bitch, you're texting me on another thread, just say do you want to go to dinner. Like, what does your assistant have to do with it? I don't write back to that shit. I hate that. It's so rude. And she's like, she's like, Chandler, text my mom and let her know I want to look at dresses. I'm like, you text your mother. If yeah, I was your mother and you sent me an assistant, if you had an assistant text me, I would not be happy. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you call your mother after what you're putting her through with this wedding. Drew FaceTimes, and because Drew is like sitting there with Ralph, they're like they're rehearsing for something. Who knows what? Maybe the wedding itself. But like Ralph's on keys, and Drew's like do re mi fa sol la ti do, and so they call her, and they're talking about the wedding, and Cynthia's like, Chad, the countdown has begun. And it sounds like, is Drew going to be singing Angel of Mine by Monica? Is that what, yes. Is that what I was able to deduce?
Yes. Yes. And Cynthia's like, so Mike, do you like the song for Monica, Angel of Mine? And he's like, yeah, I love that song when she sings it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow. Yeah. You know that she can hear your voice. It's really rude. Yeah. She's singing a free song for you, even if it is Drew and Ralph instead of Monica.
Yeah. Well, you know he's frustrated because Cynthia's insisted on this wedding. She's got her way, and now it's all going to shit because they're putting it together in 5 minutes. So yeah. You know he's got to be annoyed over there. So yeah, exactly. They've gotten texts inviting them to the pumpkin patch. So there's a lot of texts that come up on the screen of everybody being like, I'm going to come to the pumpkin patch. I'm going to look amazing at the pumpkin patch.
Yeah. Pumpkin patch. I was, by the way, last night on Twitter, Marlo was trending, and I was like, what did Marlo do that she was trending? She was trending on my Twitter. She was trending above Meghan and Harry. And I was like, what did Marlo do to trend more than Meghan Markle?
And then I forgive you, Meghan. I forgive you. I forgive you, Meghan Markle.
She's just forgiving Meghan Markle, leaking things about Meghan Markle to Page Six. I didn't understand. I was hoping that there'd be a big payoff, but then when I saw that there's a pumpkin patch situation, I started to get a little concerned that there would be no payoff.
So then we go to Kenya's house, and we get another shot of Kenya sweeping. Now, I love a shot of Kenya sweeping, because Kenya still does not know how to sweep, okay? Yeah. Like, I know you've held a broom, because I've seen you hold a broom badly many times on this show, and she just kind of moves the broom and then drops it, you know, as long as she doesn't have to be inside, because that's where a baby is probably crying.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of shows, you know, doing stunts for sweeps, but I didn't actually know of a show that actually resorted to sweeping.
As a stunt. Because it looks very difficult.
Someone messed up the memo. It's not even sweeps. Do they even have sweeps anymore? Is that a thing that happens anymore? God, I loved sweeps back in the day. It was the best.
Oh, so, yeah, where everybody watches it. It's like, oh, everybody's going to be watching the show. We're doing sweeps. Chandler Bong is pregnant.
1 hour episode, and there's a special guest. It's a crossover. Dinah Manoff is appearing on the Golden Girls.
Yeah, or that's when they had Brad Pitt on Friends. Oh yeah,
sweep.
Or Gulliver's Travels on NBC with Ted Danson. God, it was just such a great time. February, May, and November. So Kenya is sweeping leaves, and so she calls her dad, and he's basically asking for, you know, to see Brooklyn, and you know, he's just, she's gonna be having a big birthday party for Brooklyn, and the dad is like, I'm not coming. I don't want to be around a bunch of people I don't know. I mean, who throws a big super spreader party these days, right, Cynthia?
Yeah, her dad's still pretending that COVID's going on, which is crazy on these shows. So it's so weird, like when Married to Medicine starts and you're like, oh, here we go again, because all the shows are starting right when COVID started, you know? So it's like we have to relive it over and over. And then by the second week, everyone's pretending that it's kind of gone. It's kind of over. So I'm just very confused right now watching all these Bravo shows. I'm like, am I terrified or not?
And you're in Texas, where Texas is really committing to the pandemic being over. They're... Texas has decreed that it's over, basically.
I know.
It's over.
I told my family, congratulations, in just 5 days, COVID's over.
So they're talking, the dad, he's been married to his wife for 39 years. So Kenya's talking to him about Mark and how, you know, Mark filed for divorce in New York and asked for alimony. And what Mark told Kenya was that someone was at the house trying to serve me and embarrass me, which is so Mark to think that, like, you know, serving you because you've been elusive and non-responsive is actually just a way to embarrass you. Admittedly, that's what Kenya does, try to embarrass people, but like, he is so self-involved and narcissistic that he thinks that, like, this is a thing to embarrass him. It's like, no, it's that way you guys can move
on. That's literally how it works. You know, and it's like, it's a delivery, you know? It's like pizza delivery now. They just drop it at your door and leave because it's contactless. And if somebody tried to stay at my door, like, they rang the doorbell and then they just stood there. Like, they walked down the steps and waited. I guess they wanted to make sure I got the pizza. But it felt like fat shaming. I'm not going to lie. I was like, get away from my door. You know, I wanted to get on the little ring speakerphone thing and be like, move away from the door. Stop judging me.
I don't think someone serving papers at your door is a public embarrassment, because it's at your door. Like, to me, a public embarrassment is the time when Sierra was performing at a club in West Hollywood and she was served papers while she was on stage. Like, that's embarrassing. That's more of like a dick move. Papers coming to your door. Like, where else are they supposed to go to?
I don't know.
Like,
I think it's
like a grinder hookup with papers.
I just blame COVID because we're so used to not seeing each other or talking anymore. Like, now anybody coming up to me and saying anything feels like assault. You know, like, move away. 6 feet, please.
Yeah.
So who knows? But she actually warned him, too. So it's not like they just showed up. He knew they were coming, which was her big mistake, actually. And she's telling him, you know what, Dad? I can't believe he even asked for alimony. He's never asked for money from me. I mean, you gave him a brand new Tesla, so.
Yeah, exactly. You got him, you know, television exposure, and he used you so that way he could, like, do some sort of charity event and make himself look good on TV. He was going to ask for money, and the dad has it just right, which is, like, even if this is, like, a prank, you know, because he withdrew it, Mark withdrew the filing for divorce and asking for alimony. The dad is like, he wants that money. Cause if he went so far to ask, like, to put it in writing, he was serious about that. You know, the dad's totally right.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I haven't been there to observe, but it seems there's animosity towards you.
Yes. Yes. Good call. Good
call. Yeah. He's like, all I've seen is just what's been on TV, you know? And so Kenya reminds us, she's like, well, I made the very bad decision not to invite my dad to my wedding because I didn't think my dad would get along with Mark and I regret it. I'm like, well, if you knew that your dad wasn't going to get along with Mark, that means on some level you knew this was not a good relationship, dummy.
Yeah. Well, she also, that was a flight to, where did they get married? They got married in like Bali it was like a destination wedding for two.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody was. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like when you choose a destination, you don't want to have to buy your parents a plane ticket, you know?
Well,
which I totally get.
But it was also that she knew her dad wasn't going to like Mark. Because she also probably knew that Mark was going to be gruff, and she just didn't want to ruin anything, right? And just she just gave Mark all the power. It's just it's infuriating. I can't say that word anymore ever since whatever episode of whatever show we watched, but someone couldn't say infuriating.
Dallas.
But
infuriating?
Is it Dallas?
Probably.
Infuriating? I don't know. I want her just to be done with him. That's what I want.
Yeah, me too. So then we go to the stockyard where Kenya and Drew are going to meet up to have dinner. So Drew is sitting at the table alone, and she's like,
red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry. By the way, is this like the 10th time they've eaten at this restaurant? I feel like the only place they eat is like this little patio with wrought iron tables. I could be wrong. Maybe that's just the way all the restaurants look. But I feel like we've been to this restaurant so many times this season.
So Kenya comes up and she's like, hey, lady. And they're really like fakey, Mickey fakey, kissy kissy. And tell each other they're gorgeous, of course. So Drew's like, well, I know there was a lot going on since the vacation. She's like, how did you feel about the vacation? And yeah. Drew's like, well, you know, I was just trying to say it's really weird that nobody talks in this group, because one minute you're fighting and the next day we wake up and everything's fine. Everybody's just laughing and pretending it's fine. Shut up. You're still married to Ralph. Okay. There's no bigger offender than you of what you just accused everyone else of.
Shut up, you're still married to Ralph. just like the go-to like utility knife, like all size, what is it, fits all sizes, one size fits all, insult for Drew. Shut up, you're still married to Ralph. Shut up. She's like, oh my god, I'm feeling under the weather. Shut up, you're still married to Ralph.
Yes. Drew's like, yeah, you know, I mean, the tension in this group is thick as Bolo's thighs. So Drew's telling her, you know, I just want to give everybody the chance to connect one-on-one. Like, she's interviewing them to be on her show.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kenya's like, well... Yeah, pretty much. So Kenya's like, well, I have to say I was a little disappointed because you were talking about who's the realist and who is the fake, and you brought me up as an example.
Yeah, and she goes, you made it seem as though I was being fake when you did that, and now I don't really trust you at all. And Drew's like, well, I mean, you know, you'd call me and we'd have like a really good conversation, but then I think it was the thing with the private jet, you know. And like how you told me like about the private jet, but then you told me not to tell all the girls. And Kenya was like, yeah, because I was the one who wanted to tell the girls. Never. I'm like, you know, you were not planning to tell the girls if you didn't have to.
Yeah. And then it gets awkward. And so Kenya's like, well, why don't we order a drink? And she's like, drink. Can I get a drink? You. I don't know who Drew is becoming in this episode, but it's manic and hilarious, you know?
Yeah,
it's
like, exactly.
Yeah, so she's saying, well, we can go back and forth on that, but the final straw for me. Kenya's like, final straw? How did we get to final straw? I mean, how did we go from that to now we're on final straw? And she's like, well, I'm just saying, you know, if I knew that I could have brought my daughter... She's like, oh, really? Final daughter straw? Really? How did you get to that?
She's like, I just felt like you had your guard up. And Kenya's like, that's not true. I didn't open up to you to talk about it. You're not letting me talk. And Kenya's like, well, it's not something we can even speak about. And she's like, ooh.
This scene turned out to be so hilarious with these two. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them would let the other one talk. And then Drew just starts singing like Mrs. Roper, you know?
Ooh, Stanley!
Stanley! For a moment, when you said Mrs. Roper, I was thinking Mrs. Bunker. So I'm just thinking of like Drew singing at a piano with
Same
Ralph.
Same thing.
Da 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 da!
Yeah. If I remember the lyrics to that song, I would sing it, but I just realized I don't remember a single lyric of it.
Yeah, who cares? So,
okay.
So oh, Ken... no, now you really put it in my head by doing that thing. Oh, damn you. That what an earworm all in the family. Damn you.
Meathead. Those were the days.
Da, 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 da. Okay, so they have this thing where they just talk over and sing over each other. And there's a little timer on the bottom of the screen that's going from like 2 minutes, 2 more minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Yeah. And they're just talking and singing over each other.
Yes, exactly. Just talking and talking and talking. And, you know, because what happens is that Kenya tries to change the subject and she's like, well, tell me about your husband. Like, how's he going? How's the house? And Drew is like, we're good. But, you know, now I hope you understand, that as a mom, it was hard for me to leave my daughter. It's like, oh, Kenya's getting so mad. Just talking and talking and talking.
Well, Drew, stop pretending that you gave a shit that you couldn't bring your tiny children on a girl's trip. You were so excited to go on a girl's trip without the kids, and you got to skip moving, too. I think if anybody won in this situation, it's you, you know? So Kenya's like, oh, God, we're back to this. And she says, well, I just don't want to be false, you know? Why does there have to be pushback? Why? Why push back? And she's like, I don't want to go in circles. Well, but you say that you want to understand where I'm coming from. And she's like, oh, my God.
Well, she's like, it doesn't matter if I understand it. Your feelings are valid. It's about a choice. You felt guilty about being somewhere without your family. Then you can go home, which is a bit of an oversimplification because if she could have brought her kid, her whole thing is saying that, like, if I could have brought my kid the way you brought your kid, like, I could have actually fully enjoyed myself instead of, like, 75% enjoyed myself.
Yeah, this is one where I don't believe that Drew really cares about any of this. But also, the point is Kenya brought her kid in secret and didn't tell anybody else, which is shitty. And she's never going to admit to that either. So,
yeah, exactly.
They're both kind of wrong in a boring way, but they're doing it. They're presenting
in a funny way.
In a great way. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they basically decide they're going to go home. So they call the waitress over to wrap up everything, and Kenya offers to pay. And Drew's like, no, 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 we're going to split it, because she clearly does not want to have Kenya buy her food or whatever. And Kenya's like, I don't split checks. Broke bitches split checks. which it just was like, no one's judging you on splitting this check. But it was funny because then they did, I thought they were just going halvesies, but they did actually split it up by who ate how much. And they gave a little total on the screen. Like, Kenya owed $31 and Drew owed $23. I don't know why they included that, but I was down with it.
I don't split. Broke people split checks. Like, well, me and my friends do split checks. And we'll also take 2 boxes. Like, that's crazy to ask for. We're also not going to share our food at home. Like, okay, glad you specified. So Kenya drives away, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't stand this girl. She talks so much. And Drew's back at the table going.
Wrapping up her very sad salad with pronounced cherry tomatoes. So then we go, speaking of sad salads with cherry tomatoes, we then go to a highway with Cynthia and Mal driving, and we hear Mal go, how far away? Which is like exactly what you expect Mal to say when she's sitting in your passenger seat.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Where are we going?
Are we there yet?
Oh, look out, debris.
Well, praise God, my friend Kathy has a storm. So Cynthia tells us that anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I was like, have you read your husband's book yet?
Yeah. She's like, well, I lost 2 bridesmaids, lost a groomsman. Mike's wedding band came in from London, but it's too small. Noelle's dress doesn't fit. And there's a possible hurricane. And I'm like, and there's also a global pandemic.
Yeah.
There's that too.
Well, this probably has nothing to do with anything, but I'm reading here on my telephone that 2 Real Housewives of Atlanta stars had sex with strippers at your bachelorette party. She's like, I said it was crazy, child. I said it was crazy. She's like, so who was it? And she's like, well, it wasn't me. Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, let me just say it wasn't me. And the producer asks her who leaked. And she's like, Bolo, who else? He's like, no, who leaked the information? Oh, I don't know.
I don't, now I know who was the most pressed, but I'm just going to leave it right there. She goes, I don't know who leads it to the press, but I know who's most pressed.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we go to Marlo's harvest event, and Candy's showing up, and Marlo's like, ooh, I like the ponytail. It makes you look so young. Dungeon parties look good on you.
And so Candy's like, page six. And so they start talking about page six, and Marlo's like, what? Page six? I totally don't have a Google alert set for Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I have no idea about page six.
Yeah.
You know about page six. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they're reading the headlines, and Marlo's like, well, what did Beyonce say? You got to sign an NDA to party with me, right? So then Kenya joins up, and you know, Candy's happy to see that Kenya and Marlo are like still patching things up these days, but she's really angry still about this page six thing. And she's also mad because the articles are like, what's the tea, Candy? Like, what's going on? Tell us all the deets. I guess like everyone sort of thought that Candy was involved in this. So she hates that.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did throw a sex party and give away dildos to promote her dildo business. So
it's that's true too.
Candy, I love when Candy acts so like, what? How could they ever think that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Anybody want to buy a dildo right now? Yeah. At my S&M party. So Kenya shows up and, typical like, hi. And then they start talking about the article again, and she's like, well, that's page six, that's Marlo's friends. She's like, oh.
I don't trust a blogger. So Kenya's like, well, we make headlines all the time, so I'm not surprised by this. And so the producer asks Kenya who leaked it, and she goes, I think it was an inside job. I'm like, yeah, like, you think? That's the whole point. Like, who on the inside leaked this? She's like, definitely someone who was there who told someone else, and they leaked the information. And I'm not sure who it is, but maybe you should talk to Brandon, my gay. I don't know. Just putting it out there.
I know. That sounded like a confession to me. Yeah. So then she says, well, maybe if it was B. Scott or TMZ, but not page six. So then Latoya's like, okay, well, look, she's nice to me, but if you get on her bad side, she's the devil, Lucifer, Satan, Kenya, okay? And I truly believe it was her. So Latoya's really making a fun reunion for herself. She's going to get her ass kicked by Kenya up and down that reunion.
Yeah, she really would. She really will. So they're also saying that Tanya has fled to Canada and is, like, nowhere to be seen. And so they put up, a wanted poster, an Old West wanted poster of Tanya. It's, like, wanted for Bodo crimes. I don't know. So I guess that's their way of saying we probably won't be seeing Tanya for the rest of the season because she apparently stopped filming. So,
well, if you want to see Tanya, you're going to have to make that wanted poster like one of those toys in stores where there's a little button that you press to really experience it. Right. You know, like wanted. Boom. Oh, yeah. I've heard her.
I saw some video that Tanya put up where she was with her man, and he was in some crazy, it was either a gaming station or a workstation. It was like three screens, and it looked like a Dave and Buster's contraption. And she was like, look at this! I was like, what is happening in Tanya's world right now? I don't understand this.
So then Shamia comes, and Marlo's grilling Shamia, and Shamia's just so tired of this, you know? It's like, here we go. Another thing about this stupid investigation. So Shamia's like, well, whoever keeps bringing it up is probably the one that did it. And Marlo's like, well, that was mean.
Yeah, it's like basically whoever smelt it dealt it, right? So, they're talking about all of this stuff. And Drew shows up, and she's in like a platinum wig. And Marlo is now basically doing what Kenya was doing, which is just grilling people. And she's like, Toya, okay, did you have any sexual, look at me in the eyes. Did you have any sexual relations with Bolo? Let me know. Okay. I want to know who had sexual relations. Okay. All right. Oh yeah. And then that's when Shamia's like, okay, whoever smelled it dealt it. And then Cynthia FaceTimes in from Lior's, which is the dress shop. And I'm just so glad that Bravo did not bore us with a scene of her picking out a dress for her mother, and then them crying, and then her mom saying how proud she is of her. I'm just really glad it was limited to this very brief FaceTime conversation.
Yes. And they all ask her, hey, is the prenup at least done? And she's like, we're going to do a postnup. And Candy's like, uh-oh. Not good.
Not good. Kenya's like, I always tell people to have a prenup. I mean, I just don't listen to my own advice. But I mean, if that's what Cynthia wants to do after dealing with Peter, then that's Cynthia's issue and not mine. I'm like, yeah, she's kind of right there.
And they're like, Candy, what do you think? And she's like, no. So then we go, now they're playing cornhole or something, but it's like cornhole, it's like slingshot cornhole.
I just wrote down activities. So then it was just, pumpkin patch things. So then LaToya is starting to dredge up some stuff with Drew. They're like kind of talking, and she was like, oh, you were talking about like something like, I don't care about marriage or whatever. And Drew was like, oh, yeah, no, I was saying that because you were coming for Fallon. And, you know, Fallon, by the way, is a great example of someone who does not pop on TV. Like, this is like, Drew is working with the group. Fallon, amazed that her name was even uttered in this scene.
Yeah.
I don't
even know. Fallon's just like, I'm rich, married to an old dude. Anything else is up to you.
Like, making truly the laziest attempt at being a friend of we've ever seen on this show.
Well, basically, this scene is supposed to be Portia and Kenya fighting, but Portia got lost. So she put the address into her GPS.
But apparently, I've driven an hour out of the way. I didn't know where I was. But then I passed two outlet malls, Oz, Cows, Narnia, Jamunda, Macon, Acapulco. Damn, where's this pumpkin patch?
Where is she? At some point, she just has to call it and be like, I'm not coming. I am not coming. So they all hop onto a hayride, and they're just talking about, they're asking about Kenya and Drew's dinner and everything. And basically, the girls were like, yeah, it seemed like you were trying to come for Kenya, actually. It really, she's like, me? Really? Woo! I was not.
Well, you thought, you know, that's, you were doing it and you were talking over me, and then I get to the table and she's doing acting exercises, like preparing for a scene. Like, what is that?
And Drew's like, you know what? I'm going to be singing at Cynthia's wedding, and you know what, Candy, don't you do these vocal exercises as well? And she's like, not at dinner, weirdo.
I know. So basically they go on their hayride. I just assumed there'd be someone with a chainsaw, the old Bravo, like, it's a scary hayride thing. Let's watch them all scream because they're girls.
No one has to pee in the cornfields. I mean, come on.
What sort of hayride is this? So then they just basically are like, we're going to go home now. So but then Shamia and Drew and Marlo decide to wait for Portia because Portia's still not there. So they just wait there. And
Kenny and Candy have been on this show too long. They're like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, done. Work's over.
Yep. So so Portia shows up and she's like, so what'd you guys talk about, huh? And so they talk about like the headlines and Page Six and all this stuff.
Yeah, and Portia's just done with Kenya still, basically. And she knows that Kenya was the one who leaked it. And Marlo's like, well, you and Kenya need to talk. I mean, you need to get into it or just talk it out or whatever. And she's like, well, we're not. And she just keeps poking at me, but I see you have a budding friendship with her. And she's like, you know what? We haven't even talked since then, okay? You know, like, I'll talk one-on-one by yourself, but listen, here's the thing with me. I'm super loyal. I'm a straight shooter. And after I have a two-minute makeup, it's, oh, everyone back away from Marlo. Well, yeah, because you have a two-minute makeup and then start on Kenya's investigation right along with Kenya. You know, stop being everybody's sidekick and people won't start associating you.
But, and also though, like, I didn't really like how she was like, well, it was a 2-minute makeup, but we haven't spoken at all since then. I'm like, that's because you guys just became friends again. You're not going to become bosom buddies.
Infuriating. Right away. That's infuriating.
That's infuriating. But you're not going to become bosom buddies right away. You know, like, so like, I feel like that's an unreasonable expectation that after, you know, a multi-year feud and you guys finally decide to bury the hatchet and now you're going to have fun when you're around each other, that you're just going to be calling each other on the phone. That's just not how it really works.
Yeah. And Portia's like, look, I haven't even spoken to Shamia and she's my best friend. Okay. So give me a break. Yeah. So everybody group hugs. And it's over. And Drew's like, see, this is all I wanted. Communication. Do, do, re, to me, to fa, to la, to do. Great job, everybody.
Do, re, mi, fa, ho, tel, tam, pa. So then we now go to Blaze Steak and Seafood, where it's just Candy and Toya and Todd. Is that their new steakhouse? Is it Blaze named after their daughter? Because that would make sense. I was like, why are they shooting a scene in a restaurant that's not their own? That's off brand for them.
Yeah, of course it's their own. Yeah, that's the one they've been working on. So they're telling Don Juan about this Page Six stuff. And LaToya, like you said, is there too. And so Candy and LaToya are trying to figure out who gets the most information from Kenya, right? Mm-hmm. So Candy's like, well, did Kenya talk to you, LaToya, about her marriage stuff? And LaToya's like, yeah, mostly. I mean, they're trying to figure out custody. But did she tell you that he filed? She's like, oh, so she told you that too? And Candy's like, yeah, she just doesn't want to discuss it in front of anybody. I'm like, well. Glad
so we'll just
TV
discuss
then.
It here. Yeah. And Don Juan's like, can you do me a favor? Can you just like not orchestrate any more people going down on each other? Thanks. Mm-hmm. So then we go over to the store where Drew and Shamia and Portia are shopping, and there's like some snake earrings. So there's a lot of talk about Kenya. And Drew is actually oddly sympathetic to Kenya. She's like, you know, I look in her eyes and she seems really sad. And, you know, I feel like she wants to connect but doesn't know how, and Portia's like, well, I'm never going to connect with her, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and then they start dancing and singing and doing church stuff in there.
And then a girl in the background, like, scurries out the door. I don't know if you caught that, but she was just like, I got to get out of here.
So now Kenya goes to therapy. Now, listen. I'm not a Kenya fan, but goddamn, her life is sad. It really is sad. And still, of course, there is part of me that watches this, and I'm like, oh, Kenya. Like, how much of this crap with Mark do you bring on yourself? But then you see her, like, opening up and crying and, like, talking about abandonment issues and why she brings people who have no respect for her into her life because of her mom. And
She obviously feels like shit about herself, I think. I think that, like, the whole situation with her mom is, like, deeply traumatic, and she probably doesn't feel like she deserves any sort of love or something like that. So, you know, she even alludes to it that she wants to be the bad guy almost. And I think it's easier for her to understand the world if she is the bad guy. I think she has trouble being lovable or nice or warm because it doesn't make sense to her, because that her life story to herself is that you're not deserving of love. So she, you know, obviously it all stems from her mom. And also, by the way, obviously this is probably like, you know, enlightenment that like literally anyone could have told her at this point, you know, but still I appreciated this therapy scene.
Yeah. And the stuff with her mom is so crazy because her mom basically said, I don't want to have a kid. I'm not ready to. She brings up that everyone makes her the bad guy because her mom said, I'm not ready to have kids, and you guys insisted on keeping my child in the family, so you've put me in a situation of ignoring the kid when I said I don't want to have a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a tricky situation. I mean, we have that in my family as well with one of my cousins, and it is just, it's rough. It is tricky because the family thinks, well, we're doing right by our family by keeping this baby in the family. But then the baby is always confronted with, you know, the mom that gave him up in the first place. You know, that's a mind fuck. It's a real mind fuck for
the
kid.
It is a mind fuck. But ultimately, the mom is the adult and the baby is literally a baby. And I kind of feel like, you know, you don't have to have an orthodox, standard upbringing. But like the fact that like now that they're both adults and the mom still can't acknowledge her is crazy. You know, I don't know what happened in that situation that created this massive amount of dysfunction, what the factors were that caused the mom to not want to acknowledge her child, and how much like was the family being unreasonable and forcing this child on the mom, or how much was the mom just being totally stubborn and crazy and rejecting her very own daughter. But the point is this, is that Kenya did experience a huge amount of hurt and trauma, both from her mom and from a family that she says did not protect her. And I just think at this point, though, like, the mom's an adult, and I don't know. I think that I think the mom has on some level a responsibility to make things right with her daughter.
Yeah, I agree. So the husband, or just at least not treat her like she's invisible. Acknowledge
like,
her.
Look, just have a relationship. Like, I don't think that the mom. I don't think it's actually necessarily fair for the mom to hold Kenya's resentments and issues against her. Like, this is it's like a child. It's a child that was deeply traumatized by this rejection, you know.
Yeah.
And it seems like the mom is blaming on a certain level. It feels like the mom is like, oh, you made me out to be a bad person on TV, and now I don't want to talk to you. It's like, well, but it's like, you can't put this on Kenya, really, or all of it. Yeah. I should say.
Yeah. So then the doctor's like, well, you know, Kenya's talking about Mark. She's like, well, with my husband, it's the same way, because all these things that have happened, I mean, how can you not see that you're just being cruel? You know, and in his mind, it's him against me. And I'm going to try and break you because I'm broken. And the doctor's like, well, is that some angry communication from you too? Possibly. Because, of course, yeah. Kenya doesn't really. The only way that Kenya acknowledges that anything could be her fault too is in a way of like, you know, it's my fault that I take it. But it's never that she actually gives it. You know, and it's kind of similar to how she is on the show. And her answer is really funny because she's like, I have restraint. Anyone can tell you that.
She's what we would call an unreliable narrator, you know?
Yes. But it is really sad. Yeah.
Mark is ultimately a dick. We think about, you know, like we've said before, you know, Kenya presents a reality that's very favorable to her, you know, which is classic Kenya, and you know, what really happens. What we can't really know, but what we have seen is we have seen Mark being a huge, massive douchebag. And like, that's what I have to go off of. And so therefore in Ben court, he is guilty of being a douchebag.
Yes. Benjamin's court.
Yeah. But actually really like this therapy scene. There's really not much to talk about it because it's also like, again, it's like, I didn't feel like there were like breakthroughs here. This is sort of the same stuff. It's like her mom abandoned her and now she's drawn to these terrible guys. This is sort of what she's been dealing with. No news here, but it still is fascinating nonetheless to see her, you know.
Yeah, but it comes down to that stuff. It comes down to stuff like when you're just talking to a friend about life and it's like, well, we're, you know, old now. So how much of this is you and when is it time to just be like, it's done, you know? I mean, the stuff with Kenya that makes it hard is she's that friend who calls, well, and I've been this friend, by the way, that calls and is crying and sobbing about a man, and every day it's something new, and every day it's another fight, and every day is fucking something. And you know, when you're the other friend on the phone who's just listening, it's like, well, and now you're back with him, so now I have to be nice and sit here because you decided to take it back, and it's been years of this. So at some point it's like, shut up, because now you're back with him, you know?
Well, it also just shows how difficult cycles are. Like, we all are in cycles of who knows what, but like, everyone has a cycle that they're stuck in that is born out of childhood issues, and they're hard to break. We see it on these shows all the time, you know? And
it's easier to say that when it's somebody else, right? When I'm not the person on the phone who's crying about the man, it's okay for me to see it in somebody else. But when I'm the one going through it, I'm like, anybody? Listen to
Is anyone out there? It makes me feel like I'm just walking around in circles around the makeup counters at Macy's.
Yes, waiting for somebody to give you some Lauren lashes.
Just trying to find my car, and suddenly I'm in menswear. I'm like, no, I don't.
Where is the spotted bra? Where is the spotted bra?
I don't need this pattern shirt. No. Oh, this is where people get their affliction shirts. I don't like it.
Diesel Sir, shoes. If you're here one more minute, you're buying a fucking KitchenAid. That's it. I've had it.
Okay, guys. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned later today for the Married to Medicine premiere episode. And then tomorrow we got Below Deck and, you know, a whole week of content. The huge. And we'll talk to you on the next one, everyone. So everyone stay safe and hope you break whatever cycle that you're in somehow.
Yeah, let's break some cycles, guys.
Break the cycle.
Love you guys.
I'm gonna try to break some cycle. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.